This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
This Power Women feature is brought to you by the UK Department for International Trade.
Hello, everybody, and you will not believe where we're at. We're on the 28th floor right here in Cape Town, and we are one of the special guests for the Department of International Trade right here at the UK Africa Business Trade Forum. We are so lucky and privileged and blessed, and it's an eye-opener to be here to interview the powerful Power Woman right here on our Power Women session on Future CEOs. Once again, my name is Lubimboya Arnold, and I have the privilege of sitting across a table of really a truly groundbreaking black female entrepreneur whose name is Ntsiki Biyela. She's a winemaker, but more importantly, she's an African entrepreneur doing trade and business with the UK, the director of Aslina Wines. Welcome to Power Women segment on Future CEOs.
Thank you very much, Lubi, and thank you for having me on the Power Women session.
So Uti, you hail from Natal. Take us back to the young woman or the young girl growing up. What were your visions and your dreams and your thoughts about where you wanted to be placed in life and in the country and on the continent?
Well, I grew up in a village. I'm from a village in KwaZulu-Natal called KwaVuthela. And where I grew up with my grandmother. I'm my grandmother's daughter. I think when you grow up as a child, going to school, you know your surrounding, you get excited with everything you see. But at the end of the day, you know you want to change your life.
Absolutely.
So I was one of those kids. I knew at some point, I want to change my life. Because you can see as you grow up in the village, this is not it. It doesn't end here. There's something more. So I went to school. I finished my primary school and I went to high school. When I was in high school, because as I was growing up, my grandmother always said she wanted me to be a land surveyor. And I was like, I'm going to be a land surveyor.
Okay.
Getting to high school, and then when I was standard 9 and everyone talked about chemical engineering, civil engineering, and I thought, my grandmother wanted me to be a land surveyor. I'm going to do civil engineering because it's got land surveying in it. So then in that way, my grandmother would be happy too. And I found myself getting all excited.
But from a village girl, these are big and out of the ordinary courses or subjects to even consider and think about. So you're not the typical ordinary girl from Natal, if that was your thought process already.
Well, I think even at school, you know, when you are at school and everyone is excited, you know, there's this group in class that, you know, you are the sort of, I'll call you the A group in class. So, yeah, sometimes you notice and teachers will not notice because you hide behind your good marks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's basically what we did. The naughtiest things we did at school was fantastic, but yay, we grow. And so I was like, okay, everyone changed and they wanted to chemical engineering. And I was like, I think I'm going to apply for chemical engineering. And then I start applying for scholarships for chemical engineering with no luck of getting a scholarship. So what happened then, I was like, when I finished my matric, I went and worked as a domestic worker for a year. That was change. That was change. Because somebody will look at that and think, domestic working. But actually, if you want to change your life, one step at a time, it was change from a village to do something somewhere else. Because I went to Durban. So I worked there. And when I was working, and because it was an extended family of mine, so called part of my family, and they said, okay, you're going to do your duties in the morning and you go to school, we'll pay for you to go to school to study. So I was going to study at Mangosuthu Technical, do my chemical engineering. And then I'll do my chores in the morning, do them in the evening, and in between do my schoolwork. And when the scholarship came to study winemaking at Stellenbosch University,
unbelievable.
There was like, okay, I'll do it.
Unbelievable.
So it was one of those things. So when that happened, I was like, well, I'll do that. And I had no idea what wine was. And when I got that chance to say winemaking, I thought, I'm going to be making hunters. I'm going to be making. And then you get to Stellenbosch, like, oh, yeah, those are ciders. And you're like, oh, it's not wine. But when I arrived, because the guy who had recruited us, Jabulani Tshangase, he gave us wine to taste. For the first time, I had to taste wine. So, you know, when somebody explains something they enjoy the most, he poured this red liquid in a glass and talk about plums and all the fruit you pick up. And you're thinking, can you just shut up? Because, you know,
can I sip?
Yes, because this is going to be delicious. Exactly. And then you take a sip and then you realize that this is the most horrible thing in your mouth. And you're thinking, what was he talking about exactly? So that was basically one of those things. And also my scholarship had said, they asked me that, do you know it's going to be in Afrikaans? And I was like,
my
it's fine, I'll learn.
And then I can't believe, sorry to interject, that given the story that you've told me and all the future CEOs thus far, there are so many hoops that you had to jump through. There are so many barriers that you had to go just even to start the educational process of who you are today. And you still went for it, not even being a wine drinker yourself, not even knowing what you're going into, but you just went on.
I think it's,
and
it's,
continued.
It's one of those where you're like, you know what? I want to change. You've got a goal in mind. You might not have the real picture of it, but all what mattered was I needed change. And that was going to happen. So getting into Stellenbosch, and I was told that it's in Afrikaans, and in my mind, naively, I'm going, I'm going to learn. And then I get there. The first encounter should have made me run away and run back home, basically. Because when I arrived at Stellenbosch University, I remember standing above the library, because the Stellenbosch library is underground. So standing there, all I see is this, like, it was white people everywhere. And you don't even see a black person. Okay. And they're speaking Afrikaans. You've got no idea what they're saying, passing you. And I was standing there, and I remember one of these ladies, Tulaniani. I knew that she's Tulaniani later, because she was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I need to go there. I couldn't pronounce even the name that I was looking at. And I'm like, I need to go there. And I point to her in the book. And she's like, no, come with me. We're going there. And you get to the hall. The lecturer speaks. Everybody laughs. You've got no idea what they're laughing about. And when everybody stands up and you're like, oh, that means they're done.
So how did you complete that with Afrikaans not even being a first or second language?
Well, you make plans. So what we did, we asked for tutors.
Absolutely.
We asked for tutors. So you'll attend the class and then you'll get tutors after that.
So one thing you can say about that, about you, is that you're resilient and you adapt to change very quickly. You have to.
I do. I think actually my fear in my first year was like I was going to fail and I'm going to get kicked out of the university and go home.
So since you... what are the things, because I can name two, and we said that it's resilience and lack of fear. Do you attribute your success to? What are the characteristics?
I wouldn't say it's a lack of fear. Mm. It's like being fearful, but at the same time...
courageous.
Courageous. Amen. And say, you know what? I'm scared, but you know what? I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Resilience, courage. What else? Another two. About you. And these are from who you are.
Okay. For me, I'll say authenticity and love. Love and understanding the tribe behind you.
So you graduated from Stellenbosch University. What next? On the journey towards you being the first black female wine director and owner right here in South Africa.
I worked part-time as a student at one of the wineries to understand what winemaking was. And that helped me out. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, she always say, see and be seen. And I always, like, she always forgot. I'm like, Nayo, you always tell me see and be seen. And I made sure when I got to the wine industry that I see and I'm being seen. Because I'll go to seminars and you find out, I'm like, I'm the only black person here.
Absolutely.
But I'm like, love it. So what I also did is when I, because I got a job as a winemaker at Stellenbosch when I finished my graduation. And I literally made a point that I go to all the most seminars that were being presented to winemakers so that I could meet people in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I was asking me as many questions as possible. Mm-hmm. And I connected myself to as many people as I could. Mm-hmm. And I did my harvest overseas and just, Wow. Yeah.
So tell us about how business has been. So how long have you been running Aslina?
Well, I've been a winemaker first for 13 years at Stellenbosch. And then when I left, I started my business, but I started it before I left the company.
Okay.
So it's always my first vintage for Aslina was 2014.
Wow.
2014 vintage, which actually I only launched in 2016.
Really?
Yes.
And the hardest part of your journey has been what?
Well, I wouldn't say whenever I look at this hardship, I always look at them as, I'm not sure if I look at them as challenges, but I try not to see anything that's going to block me. It's like there's always a silver lining on something that I'm
that's
looking at.
That's a great attitude.
So I always struggle to look, what are the difficulties? Mm. Because I always, like now, if I talk about as any entrepreneur, financial issues, but I've managed to make sure that even when I talk to my clients, I'm like, you know what? You want this volume of wine. Mm. I won't be able to give you this volume. I'll give you a little bit, but there is growth if you want to grow with me.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're always willing. And then they always say, okay, fine. But we can also assist if you need, you know. And then just to have open discussion with your clients because it is very important. I cannot say
authenticity, as you said.
Exact authenticity. They know it's like, oh, we're going to sell you one in this country and like, oh, that is fantastic. I want to be there. But there's a slight problem. I've got the volume is not enough for you, you know. And then we discuss how we're going to grow. Because like what matters is to meet people who shares the same vision, who shares your best interest while they're building their companies too.
You know what? That's why they always say in our space as entrepreneurs, you can't do things alone. You have to have partnerships and collaborations and teamwork.
Yes.
And that's why we're here today, because the UK wants to collaborate with Africa to create global economies. Two last questions. When it comes to business and when you want to grow as a business, skills or connections?
Both. Both.
Elaborate.
You need, I'll say, skills, connection, and passion.
Yes.
Because when you talk about something that you believe in.
Yes.
And you have belief in that.
Yes.
People will buy into that. And if you just speak because you just want to do.
And get it through and get it out of the way,
I've cracked into some of the markets in the US where.
Unbelievable.
Where I was like, they asked me, so why are you doing this? You can't just do something just for money. Because if you're doing for money, then you might as well stop.
Okay.
Bottom line is we all want to make money at the end of the day, but there must be a bigger vision than just making money, because life is not just about money. There's something more to it.
You validated the power of collaborative teamwork and partnerships. So tell us what those mean in the context of growing the business, growing outside the African continent and growing your brand. And you can be specific about which country or not, but just tell us how important that is to grow and to scale your business as a black female entrepreneur in a space where not many black females have operated.
I think it is very important that you do collaborations, because that expand your knowledge, firstly, as an individual, as an entrepreneur. And also you find that you collaborate with people who are within that space, and they will actually help you to extend your brand. Like, example, when I started, I collaborated with an American winemaker, Helen Keplinger. We did a blend together. And that blend, when it started selling in the US, that's when I managed to introduce Aslina Wine, to say, actually, this is the collaboration that we've made, but here is also my individual wine. And then with that, it basically exploded the market. And doing also collaboration in France, I did a consultation for winemaker's collection.
Wow.
And so they invite an international winemaker to make a specific wine. It get branded with your picture and the your name in the country. So it was basically the collaboration of South African winemaker and the French winery. And I had my wines again out there, which sold all over the world. Nonetheless, I can say that I couldn't even afford a bottle of that wine, which was very fantastic. But I had my own allocation, so there was no need really to afford it.
You know what? Just saying that a couple of us are on the executives of Future CEOs, we enjoy our wine. That's just a little nudge, nudge, hint, hint. So yes. That last gem that really comes from your heart to aspiring, upcoming, high potential entrepreneurs out there, especially as black females. What could you say to motivate us about our vision and our dreams about our business?
You know, someone has been saying something to me lately that if it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. But also, I believe that if you want to do something, don't give yourself options. I think as long as you get into something and you're like, oh yeah, if it doesn't work, then I'm going to do this. The minute you open that door, close that door, just say, this is it. And it ends here, and build that.
I love it. And we're right here coming to you from Cape Town. You will not believe the 360 view. Isn't it beautiful?
Stunning.
The 360
it's just doing it.
And that's our Power Woman session with the beautiful, intelligent, innovative winemaker and director of Aslina Wive and Tsiki Biyele. From me, Thubimboya Arnold, Future CEOs, and this is our Power Woman segment. Bye.
This Power Woman feature is brought to you by the UK Department for International Trade.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.